all your cares. Bring them to Jesus at the altar of care. In this day and age, we need an armor bearer. In this day and age, we need a rescuer. In this day and age, we need somebody to lean on, somebody to say, it is okay. It is okay. Today, I want to bring us under the caption, and I want us to focus on the, I want the mind like Jesus. I want the mind like Jesus. A few weeks ago, I used this text at board meeting, and it was just out of proxy, and it drew my attention, and I began to do some more in-depth study on this text, and I presented it last week at North Stanford, and I said I need to share whatever as a good parent would do, whatever they give to their one child, they give it to the other. As a pastor, I think I should not leave anybody out. Whatever one gets, the other get it as well. Whatever goodies, whatever they're getting, they should get as well. So if you are listening from North Stanford, this would be a second dose for you. If you are here, it would be a second chance to recollect. If you have not heard it before, get your note papers and your ears in that place where you will hear, and get your ears to that place where you will understand. Get your ears to that place where you will not be able to hold fast to your ground, so that you will not slip away in different thoughts and think otherwise, but hold fast. The hour has come where we need to desire the mind like Jesus. If we don't have the mind like Jesus, we're going to have other minds, and we are going to be mindless. Because only the mind of Jesus will last through the years to come, or days to come, with the things that are coming up upon us. Let me hasten on to read this text. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 1 onward. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercy, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in loneliness of mind, let each esteem the other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own thing, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What mind? Let us contemplate that question as we pray. Heavenly Father, as your words come to us from your written words, Lord, as it comes to us, in the spoken word as it comes to us in the listening word, may their words find lodgment in your cranium and in the cerebellum and in the inner part of our soul so that we can understand your message of the hour, which will help us to take us to dark stages of life to come. Help us, Lord, that we may strive to have this mind that you have. As your hearers and as the listeners listen today, may our souls rest in your arm and may we bring all our anxiety, all our cares at your mercy seat of love. Bless those who are on Zoom and those who are in the house today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The book of Philippians is said to be written by Paul while he was in prison. It was mainly directed to the church at Philippi. This book highlighted three major sections or major themes. The first is rejoicing. He demonstrated that in the spirit of in spite of the circumstances, Christian must remain what? Joyful. Regardless of the circumstances, brethren and friends, you must remain what? Joyful. Say it like you mean it. Say it like it's a reality. We must remain what? Joyful. Secondly, humility. Jesus gives up his equality with God and served God as an obedient human being. And Jesus, and as an obedient human being, so that's another section. The second section speaks about humility. And the third section of the book talks about faith. Faith in the crucified Savior means that you have accepted God's method of salvation, the cross, at the expense of all others. You have accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior from sin. And that's the method through which salvation will come to us through Jesus Christ. Today, in this message, I want to focus on the second theme. The second theme, which says, these are the keys he expressed in the main text. Thus, Jesus is seen as an example of humility and unity in God's place. What do you say? Jesus is seen as the example of humility and unity. So the question is, brethren, do you want the mind of Jesus? Do you want the mind of Jesus? First, strive for unity among each other. How to achieve that? We have to change our thoughts about each other. If we have self-importance, we only see ourselves. You will compare yourself with others rather than with Jesus Christ. Then you'll make yourself the standard. When you make yourself the standard, everything else, everybody else has to measure up to you. When things do not fall in your standard, everybody else is out of line. You will even find text in the Bible to support your distorted standard. Some go as far as quoting N.G. White out of context to support their distorted thinking. This causes this unity in God's family. And so Philippians 2 and verse 1 to 2, therefore, if you have any encouragement, and I'm reading from the New International Version, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in the Spirit and in one mind. Amen. Brethren and friends, we are living in an age where fragmentation, disunity, anarchy is the talk of the day. Self-centeredness will cause disunity, as I will be looking out for my own self, my self-interest, not the interest of others. In this action, I will do things in the strife and in vainglory. God says, Paul to Paul and Paul to the church and to the church to us in Philippians 2 and verse 4 and 3 and 4, do not do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain deceit. Rather, brethren, in humility, value others above yourselves. Do not look to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. This recipe will bring us unity. This activity will bring us unity. This desire will bring us unity. This thought process will bring us unity. And since we are striving to have the mind of God, we need not look to ourselves. We look to God, look towards others, and help others. What do you say? Yes. So Isaac's story indicated that we should not fight for a well, even if it was taken from us unjustly. Don't fight for it. It also teaches that by modeling Christ, we are enabled by his Spirit to put others first, even when they are trying to harm us. It is by no means out of weakness and our cowardice that we are called to do this. It is simply done by faith. You're walking by self and walking by sight. We are going to be in serious trouble. And this quote came from the Collegiate Quarterly, page 666. Page 66. Do you want the mind of Christ? Do you really want the mind of Jesus? Do you really want them? Do you have that desire? When you look around and you look at yourself and you look what is happening and you look how you're thinking and you look, do you really want the mind of Jesus? Let us humble ourselves. Let us humble ourselves. Philippians 2 and verse 5 to 8, the core of the text is this. This is the core of the text. In our relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Have the mindset of what? Of Christ Jesus, rather than what is who. Have the mindset of Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature of God, did not consider himself equal, consider him as equality with God. Something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled, he humbled himself by becoming obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Jesus Christ, and this is the core of all of Philippians. Jesus is equal to God. But the fact that the plan of salvation is in place and he came to save us, he no more thought of himself to be equal to God, but he humbled himself, bore the cross in obedience for our sake. This is humility. He did not use his divinity for his own advantage. He did not use his divinity to get away from troubles and trials. He bore them. He was obedient to his Father. That's the crux of the matter of salvation. Humility. What is humility? The purpose of humility is to uphold Christ's love and humility towards God as a model for our behavior towards our fellow believers. Christians give up the claim of equality and serve one another in love and humility to prevent the spirit of competition from flaring up. Through the act of self-lowering, Christians also diminishes themselves. Christians diminish themselves from the people of the world who seek their rights and encourage in struggles to achieve equality with their peers and superior, and that causes jealousy. Christians need to understand what is humility. Giving up. Giving up your right sometimes. Do you want the mind of Christ? Let us humble ourselves. It will cause us to have true obedience. It will cause us to have what? True obedience. When we humble ourselves, we will be obedient into our boss, in our boss' presence, and in his absence, as God watches over us. So Philippians, and Paul to the Philippians says, therefore, my dear friends, as he's speaking to the brethren at Brooklawn, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, But now, much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act his order to fulfill his good pleasure. The King James Version says we must work out our salvation with fear and trembling, because he who has begun a work within us will continue. The fact that you're in church today is not an accident. As as Proverbs tell us in Proverbs 16, the heart plans. Make all the plans. Make all the plans you want. But the Lord who leads. The Lord who directs. So you may plan all your plans, but God is the one who makes the direction. The one who makes the direction, he comes to pass because God loves us. You are not here because of an accident. Even if you had planned to be here, you are here because God directed. God orchestrates it. Because what? He sees in your hearts that you want to be, you want to have the mind like Jesus. And there's no other place that reminds you about the minds of Jesus except the church. The bank does not tell you that. The bank tells you about money. School does not tell you that. The school tells you about learning and retrieving and doing tests and examination and be successful. The church tells you that you need to have the mind like Jesus so that you can be humble, so you can bring about unity among each other. And looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Do you want the mind like Jesus? Do you really want the mind like, let me see the hands of those who would like the mind like Jesus. Raise your hand. I would like the mind like Jesus. Let us stop murmuring and grumbling. Philippians 2 and verse 14 and 15. Do everything without grumbling or arguing so that you may become blameless. Amen, and pure. Children of God without fault in a warped, distorted, crooked generation. Then you will shine, wow. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky. But there's something about murmuring and grumbling that was prominent in the church at Philippi. And Paul got wind of that. And Paul said, in order for you to be presented faultless and blameless and pure in the presence of God, stop murmuring. Stop arguing, because what that does, it lowers your light. It lowers your light. The light that should be shining bright, you just see that light goes dim. And when your light goes dim, you are now walking in darkness. And now that you're walking in darkness, you get distorted and tainted because your mind is not focusing not on Jesus, but your mind is focusing on the grumbling and the arguing. Let us, like Paul said, James said it, that Jesus wants to present us to his Father, faultless, with ecstatic joy. You want to have the mind like Jesus. When I have the mind like Jesus, it brings me joy. It makes me joyful even under adverse circumstances. Joy in the night. Joy among my enemies, as David said, he has prepared a table in the presence of my enemy. Joy in his presence, as he has said, in the presence of God, there is fullness of joy. Joy, joy, joy evermore. There's joy at his right hand. He will present us to his Father fullness, with ecstatic joy. When we have the mind of Jesus, it brings us joy. Joy in when we have a diagnosis. Joy through our despair. Joy in the deepest pain. Joy when I'm lonely. Joy when I lose my loved one. Joy. I want to say to you, brethren, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Joy, sweet joy. Joy when I have the mind of Jesus. That is why we sing the song, joyful, joyful. We adore the God of glory, God of light. Hearts unfold like flowers before thee, for I hail thee as the sun above. Joy! When we have the mind like Jesus. The mind like Jesus takes each other's feeling in mind. The mind like Jesus helps us to be united. The mind like Jesus makes us see the value of humility. The mind like Jesus takes away the ability to murmur so that Christ can present us faultless. Finally, brethren, finally, Jesus is a great example of humility and unity. Let this mind, what mind? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What mind? He humbled himself and died on the cross for us. Let us die to self. Let this mind, the mind that thought about humility, the mind that fosters unity, the mind that helps us to understand each other, the mind, I want that mind of Jesus so I can walk humbly, so I can value unity. So I can see my brothers and sisters' interest in heart rather than my interest. That's the mind. Jesus did not use his divinity, his ability to be God, for his own advantage. That's the mind of Christ. Do not use opportunities that we have to benefit ourselves. Jesus didn't use that. We need to use the opportunities that we have to benefit others. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Bow your heads with me, everybody, everywhere. Your heads, everybody, please pray for somebody. While you're praying, please pray for my wife and I. While you're praying, please pray for my extended family, my aunt, who I asked you guys to pray for. Aunt June, she passed away last week. Please pray for her family, the Colmore family. Also, my uncle, I learned yesterday that his wife passed away in Canada, and these are in Canada. Please pray for the Hewletts family. While you're praying for these families. Find somebody in the congregation, pray for. Somebody who has not yet surrendered their lives to Jesus Christ. Somebody who has not yet been baptized. Somebody who has not begun that walk with Christ to have that mind, that mindset of loneliness, that mindset of humility, that mindset to look for not for my own interest, but the interest of others. Pray for that mindset to be among us. Because it was in Philippi, Paul wrote to them, also, he's writing to us. Whatever took place in the past is still happening to us today. Help us that we may have the same mind, like-mindedness, to be compassionate, to be forgiving, to be caring one for the other. Today I want to pray for somebody. While your heads are bowed, while you're praying, is there somebody here who sees salvation as valuable? Who sees this earth as crooked and distorted and so corrupt and want to leave this world when Jesus comes? Somebody who wants to be prepared for that glorious appearing of Jesus Christ. You might be young, you might be old. Whatever age you are, salvation has no age limit. You're here today and I want to pray for you. Just raise your hand and your eyes close. You have not yet surrendered your heart to Jesus Christ. You have not yet been baptized. Raise that hand. And they will pray for you today. Raise your hand. Raise your head. Bows. Want to pray for you today. While you're praying, please pray that we may have, all of us, may have the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who did not see himself as equal with God, but humbled himself in obedience, even unto the death of the cross, for our salvation. Let this mind, the mind of Christ. You want the mind of Christ, brethren? Stand with me. Stand with me. You want the mind of Christ? Stand with me. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are standing on holy ground, in holy place, in holy presence, because we want to have the mind of Christ. We want to have the mind of Christ, Lord, where we are able to stand up in this present crooked world and shine our lights and do not allow differences and grumbling and strife and vainglory to dampen our spirit from shining in this present crooked world. We stand, Lord, because we want to have a mind that sees humility and unity as paramount to the plan of salvation and working with each other. Lord, we want to have the mind of Christ so that we can be more compassionate, more loving, caring, and understanding. Father God, we are crying out because we want your mind, the mind that will set us free, so we can say, free at last, free at last. Praise God Almighty, free at last. I am free from the crooked mind and distorted thinking. I'm free. Oh God, as we stand today, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Especially those who have not yet surrendered their lives to you, Lord. Give them a new desire to have a new mind. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Bless us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Please remain standing for the closing exercise.